And welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. So for today's episode, I'm going to be doing something a little different, and I'm going to be answering questions sent in from you guys, from the listeners. A lot of you listening know me in real life. You are friends or family members, but I'm hoping that you'll still find something interesting in today's episode and maybe learn something new about me that you didn't know. And for those of you who don't know me personally, I'm hoping this episode will allow me to be a little more casual and less professional, I guess, and deviate from my regular episodes that are really research heavy. And I usually don't include much banter or personal conversation about my life or about who I am. I like to just get straight to it, get straight to the facts. But today I'm going to let you know a little bit about me, and you'll get to know the person behind the voice, I guess. If I think really long about a question and I'm not really making any sense, I'll probably edit that out. So this isn't a complete train wreck, but it'll probably be a little bit less edited and more laid back. If you're the type who does not like Q&A type things, I totally understand. If you don't care about me, if you don't give a shit about what kind of person I am, that's totally fine. I will not be offended if you turn this off. And you can come back for my next episode, which will be back to regular scheduling. And lucky for you guys, I can only see the cities where people listen. I can't see your name or anything. So you can turn this off and you're off the hook. I will never know. So I asked for these questions on my Instagram and Facebook a couple weeks ago. And I remember a few specific questions, but a lot of these I'm going to be seeing again for the first time in a while. So I'm kind of just going to go off the cuff here and try to answer as genuinely and honestly as I can. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Today I'm drinking a Clarity, which is a spiked sparkling water. It's kind of like White Claw or Truly, but this one is made by a local brewery, Eel River Brewing, which is in Fortuna, California. And today I'm drinking the ginger lime flavor, but they also have a raspberry and a lemon. And these are so good. I went camping over the weekend and I brought 2 6-packs of these, and I only came back with 3, I think. So that'll tell you how much I like them. They're really good. So if you're local, you have to check these out. These are at all our local stores. All right, cheers, and let's get weird. Okay, so today's first question comes from one of my very best friends, Megan, and she asks, if you needed to get rid of a dead body, how would you do it? So looks like we're just getting straight into the super morbid stuff. I apologize if this is too much for you. Okay, so this question doesn't ask how I would kill someone, but I know I would definitely do something that wouldn't leave a big mess or a lot of DNA, so probably something like strangling someone with gloves on, of course, or poisoning them, something that I wouldn't have to clean up a lot. And I'm sorry, if you are not into the true crime stuff, this is probably too much for you, but I'll try not to be too graphic. So in order to hide the evidence of who this person is, I would probably, after I killed them, I would pull out their teeth and burn their fingertips, which is something that would make it more difficult to identify them. And these are all things I've seen on shows. I don't want you guys to think I stay up at night imagining how I'd murder someone. This is just a cumulative of books and shows and other podcasts. So I swear I'm not a total creep. After I killed them, pulled out their teeth and burned their fingers, I would wrap their body up in a tarp. I would probably put it in the trunk of my car. This would all be in the middle of the night, obviously. I would probably cover the tarp with lots of blankets or bags or something that, just in case someone saw inside my trunk for some reason, it would just look like, you know, I was going on a trip or look like normal trunk stuff. I would probably drive somewhere pretty far away, probably not in California. I'd probably go to Oregon maybe. And I think I would dispose of the body either in the ocean or in the secluded woods somewhere. If I did in the ocean, I would attach some anchors to them just to make sure they went straight to the bottom. Fish could just eat their body and they would dispose naturally. If I did it in the woods, I would just dig a really, really deep hole and, you know, just put them in there. I would wear gloves the whole time. I would probably bring water and like soap or something to disinfect and wash my hands really good afterwards, even though I was also wearing gloves. And I'd probably bring a pair of like flip-flops or sandals or something so I could bury my muddy shoes too, just so there weren't, I wasn't wearing the shoes that they can match the footprints to at the burial. I would also change my clothes and bury my clothes too. So I was in fresh clothes. There was no dirt that they could match back to where I buried them. I would probably disinfect the handle and everything of the shovel as well, like pour bleach on it probably, even though I was wearing gloves. You just can't be too careful. And I'd probably leave the shovel somewhere, just leave it in the woods somewhere. I think putting it back in the trunk and, you know, taking it home with me would be a little too risky. So I'd probably drive and maybe leave the shovel somewhere away from where I actually buried the body. I would also make sure my hair was up and, you know, I was wearing a hat or something so I wasn't dropping any hair at the burial site. And I would take my car through a car wash instead of washing it at my house. You know, neighbors might see me washing my car, so I'd take it through a car wash. I mean, I think that's about it. My car would be clean. I would be clean. The body would be somewhere far away in the middle of the woods. I mean, I don't know. I think I might be able to get away with that. Okay, so this next question is from another good friend of mine, Emily, and she asks, what is the one question you would ask the Zodiac Killer if you were face to face with them? I did the 3-part Zodiac series on my show, and I kind of fantasized a lot about what it would be like to meet the Zodiac and what I would say, or if I could converse with him through a letter or something. So I'm assuming with this question that I would know who he was. If I'm sitting face to face with him, I wouldn't have to ask something like, what's your name? And I'm assuming that this one thing that I'm going to ask, that he would tell the truth. If he was still alive, he would be really, really old, so I might have to yell at him. He probably wouldn't hear me so well. But I think I would probably ask why he stopped killing. I've always wondered, you know, was he incarcerated? Was he scared? Did he get too close to being caught? Did something trigger him that made him realize that he couldn't do this forever? Or did he keep maybe killing in secrecy and stopped claiming it in the media, but maybe continued killing and is still killing? Or did he just simply outgrow it and lose interest in it? That happens to a lot of killers. The Golden State Killer kind of almost outgrew it and moved on and tried to live a somewhat normal life. So I've always wondered that, exactly what made the killing stop. Emily also asked another question, which is, what would be your serial killer name? Okay, so this is tough. I like the names that kind of have alliteration, ones that are like kind of a little funny, but I know most of them are given to the killer by the media, by, you know, the police department. They rarely choose it for themselves, unlike the Zodiac, who did choose his own name. But let's see. A lot of the names have something to do with where you're from as well, or where you're killing. So I'm from Eureka, and I live in a part of Eureka called Cutton. So maybe something to do with the word Cutton, maybe the Cutton Killer. I think that sounds kind of cool. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cutton Killer. This next one is also from my friend Haley, and she asks, if you could commit any crime and knew 100% beyond a shadow of doubt that you wouldn't get caught and no one would ever know, what would it be? Okay, so I have no urge in doing any type of violent crimes. I would probably do something dealing with money. I think I would rob a bank. That is something I think about a lot. I think about how I'd get in the bank, what I would wear, what the getaway process would be. And obviously, it's just something I fantasize about. I would never actually do this, but I think robbing a bank or some type of like cyber crime, maybe to erase my student loans. Maybe I'd hack into the student loan department and erase maybe mine and all my friends' student loans. I don't think I'd have a problem doing something like that. Or maybe something with animals, like stealing animals from the zoo or setting animals free. Yeah, probably something harmless. All right, so this next one actually comes from my dad. And my dad is a lot like me. We're very similar. He's into weird things. And we talk a lot about aliens and space. We always have. And he got me into reading Stephen King when I was in middle school. So I think I owe a lot of my weirdness and open-mindedness, I guess, to him. And he wants to know about two specific topics, which are government cover-ups of aliens and whether or not a lot of local people here believe in Bigfoot and if believing in Bigfoot varies depending on where you live. Okay, so in regards to the government cover-up of alien activity, my next episode that I'm working on right now is actually going to cover a lot of that. It's a pretty big topic that I couldn't really get into right now without my notes. There's not really a shorthand version of it, so if you want to hear more about government cover-up of alien stuff, listen to my next episode to find out more about that. And in regards to Bigfoot, I definitely think that where you live influences whether or not you believe in Bigfoot, 100%. Up here in Humboldt County, which is in Northern California, Bigfoot is a really big deal here. People talk about it a lot. That really famous Bigfoot footage that came out in the 60s, I forget the name of the man who filmed it. It was proven to be a hoax, but you see this footage everywhere. And that was filmed up here. And the show Finding Bigfoot was filmed here. We have a town here called Willow Creek that has a Bigfoot museum. And there was a movie called Willow Creek that came out a few years ago. And a big percentage of Bigfoot sightings in the country happen in this area. So I would definitely say that more people here probably believe in Bigfoot compared to, say, you know, Florida or Kansas or something, where they probably have their own things that they believe in and maybe, you know, don't think twice about Bigfoot. And I, you know, I do know quite a few people that believe in Bigfoot, and I've talked to people up here over the years that have had sightings and their own experiences. And I definitely think a lot of people around here believe in Bigfoot. And I'm actually planning on doing a future episode all on Bigfoot. So I'm thinking maybe I'll do a poll on my Instagram and Facebook and see how many of my local friends actually believe in it. And then I can share the results. Okay, so this next question comes from Lauren, and she asks, what are your favorite scary movies or shows? I'm always looking for something new to watch. Okay, so I'm going to start with shows. And I know I'm going to forget some, but I'm going to try to rack my brain for my favorites. Dexter, definitely number one. My husband and I, when we first started dating, he got me into Dexter. He bought me like a Dexter wallet. We dressed up like Dexter and a dead body for our first Halloween together. I love the name Dexter for a child. Yeah, I love that show. Michael C. Hall is amazing. Yes, that's an amazing show. Mindhunter is another one. It's a Netflix original. Season 2 is coming out in August, and that show is so good. It goes back to the 60s, I believe, with criminal profilers, and it's around the time that they actually coin the term serial killer, and they're looking into people's patterns and behavioral profiles and seeing what makes a serial killer, why do they kill, what their motives are. It's so good. It's really dark and creepy, but it's so well done. I also love good old Forensic Files. Every episode is different. That's been on since the 90s, I think. The Jinx on HBO is amazing. It follows this man named Robert Durst, who has been accused of killing several people, and it actually has a tie to Humboldt County and a missing girl from up here named Karen Mitchell, who went missing in the 90s. And there are a lot of people who think that this man is responsible for her disappearance. And that show is so good. It's a documentary and it follows him and has actual interviews with him. There's times when he's mic'd up and he doesn't know that they can still hear him and he's talking to himself about these crimes. It is amazing. It gives you goosebumps. It's so good. Another one is The Keepers, which is a Netflix original as well. And this follows the story of a woman, Sister Kathy Sesnick, I believe was her name. And she was a nun through the Catholic Church who was murdered. And it goes into her murder, but it really is about the Catholic Church cover-up of sexual abuse. And this show just gets your blood boiling. I was just talking with my friend this weekend about this show, and we were just getting so fired up talking about it. It just makes you so angry, and it's so sad, but it also leaves you with a feeling of hope too. It's still ongoing. I'm actually part of a Facebook group that is led by the creators of this show, and there's still updates to the case and to the Catholic Church's response to the show. It is so good. I definitely recommend it. Making a Murderer, of course, I'm sure most people have seen that. That is also a Netflix original, and it covers the case of Stephen Avery and the murder of Teresa Halbach. There's two seasons now. It's great. If you have not seen that, definitely watch that. Unsolved Mysteries, of course, that is the original show. Everyone, you know, stay home sick in the 90s and watch Price is Right and Unsolved Mysteries, at least. That was my childhood. I still like to watch that show on Amazon. And then there was a show that came out last year, I believe, and it's Haunting on Hill House or Haunting of Hill House. It is so good. I need to watch that again. It's so creepy, but it also really dives into the dynamic and relationships of families and mental health issues. It really just covers so much. It is such an emotional show. I think I cried in every episode, but it is also very spooky. So that is an amazing show. So movies, and I've been talking about shows a lot. I'm going to just say a couple of my favorite scary movies. I love The Strangers, The Shining, of course, The Skeleton Key. That's a movie with Kate Hudson. I know a lot of people don't know about that movie, but it's really creepy. It kind of deals with voodoo and like New Orleans. It's really good. I love Signs. I love the first Paranormal Activity movie. The other ones are trash, but the first one's really scary. The Ritual, which is a Netflix movie, really good. I do love The Blair Witch Project, the first one. I admit that one definitely creeps me out. Silence of the Lambs, Zodiac, of course, probably my favorite movie. Shutter Island. There's a movie called Hush that's on Netflix about a deaf woman who is being like stalked by a man in her house and she can't hear him. That one is really good. The Sixth Sense. I love psychological thrillers too. I love Gone Girl. Ooh, The Black Swan is really good. I love the movie Us and Get Out. Nightcrawler, The Others, American Psycho. I'll leave that right now. That's a pretty good list. But yeah, those are some of my favorites just off the top of my head. All right, this next question is from Mike, and he asks, what first got you interested in true crime and creepy stuff? So I can't pinpoint a certain experience or time in my life that really got me interested in this stuff. I honestly have loved scary, creepy, weird stuff since I was a little girl. I remember like secretly watching ghost hunting shows when I was really little. I loved thinking about space and what was out there. I used to lay awake at night just thinking about how the earth would go on forever and ever, and it would freak me out thinking about how none of us knew how it began or how it would end. I've always just loved questioning why we were here, what the meaning of life is, and I've loved thinking about the interactions with other humans, and I've never been very scared by true crime or scary things. It interests me more. My mom, growing up, always was very, you know, paranoid of kidnapping and things, and she was always telling me to be on the lookout, and I felt like I was just hyper aware of the people around me and always was looking around and watching people's body language. And I think that's something that I still do. And I just think it was an innate part of me that no matter what family I was raised in or what my environment was, I think I would always have been interested in these things. I love watching scary movies. I love Stephen King. It's rare that I watch, you know, a comedy or a drama. I just like that feeling of being a little uncomfortable, I guess. But like I said earlier, unsolved mysteries. I mean, that really, I think, got me going from a young age. I would wonder what happened to those people. And I loved when they did the updates. I also really liked watching America's Most Wanted. And I would steal my dad's Stephen King and Dean Koontz books. Yeah, I just think it's part of me that will never go away. Sorry, husband. All right, this next one is from Britt, and she asks, you have such a variety of subjects you cover. How do you come up with episode topics, and how do you decide what order to do them in? So I find inspiration for my topics everywhere. Other podcasts I listen to, books, movies, TV shows, social media, you know, current events. I have a list in my phone that I think has like 60 topics right now. So if I hear about something that interests me and I think it's doable for the show, it's not too big of a topic, and it's something that I think, you know, my listeners will enjoy, then I put it on my list. And the way I decide the order is I kind of like to stagger the topics. So I don't want to do, you know, two true crime episodes back to back or two alien episodes. I try to mix them up so that people, yeah, are getting a variety of topics. And every other week when one comes out, you don't know what to expect, I guess. I like listening to podcasts like that. So I kind of wanted to make my podcast something that, you know, I would listen to. This next question is from Natalie, who asks, if you could go back in time and witness any historical event, what would it be? Okay, this is a hard one. I've thought about this before, and it's hard for me to pinpoint one thing, as I'm sure, you know, most of you are probably thinking right now what you would want to go experience. And there's so many things that have happened throughout history that would be amazing to say, oh, I was there, I know what happened, even though obviously people would think you were insane. You know, Stonehenge would be really interesting to see how that was made. I would love to go back to, you know, ancient Rome, you know, the Round Table, the Knights. That would be cool. You know, I think though, if I could just pick one thing, I think I would want to witness how the pyramids were made. There's still a lot of, you know, conspiracy around why they were made and how they were made, exactly what the purpose was, what might be inside. You know, there's people that believe that aliens were involved. I don't really buy that, but I just want to see how they were made. I think that'd be really cool. All right, so we have two questions left. This next one is from Austin, and he asks, what true crime case or serial killer fascinates you the most? All right, again, this is a tricky one. There are so many cases, serial killers out there that fascinate me. I mean, every true crime story, if I really spent the time to research it, I think it would fascinate me. Off the top of my head, I would say the case of Maura Murray really fascinates me. Maura Murray was a young woman who vanished basically from her car. And sometime in the 2000s, I don't want to butcher this, but there's been no trace of her since. They found her car with, you know, some like alcohol bottles in there, but no one's ever heard from her since. They've never found a body, no clothing, nothing. I really want to do an episode on her in the future, but there's a lot of information to tackle. Brandon Lawson is another missing persons case. He called to 911, and the 911 call is hard to decipher. It's hard to understand. You can't really tell what he's trying to say, but he's on the side of the highway. Something happened with his truck, and he's never seen from again. He had three small children, was married, no trace of him. The Delphi murders is another one. This happened in Indiana, I believe. Middle school aged girls were murdered, and they actually found one of their phones, and there's a photo of a man who authorities believe could be their killer, and they still have not tracked down who this man is. That one is so sad. These girls were so young. They were out having a walk, you know, being kids. And that one, I really think there's going to be an answer to that one soon. Another missing persons case that just intrigues me a lot is the Lost Girls of Panama. There were two girls who went to Panama for a trip and they went hiking for the day and they were never found. And they found their camera and there's all these odd pictures on it. And there's a picture that was deleted and they don't know if one of them deleted it or if someone who, you know, someone killed them and deleted it. Their belongings were found. Some bones were found that were bleached. There's just a lot of things that don't add up. And that's one that I definitely think about a lot. As far as serial killers that really fascinate me, of course, Zodiac. Like I've said, I talk about Zodiac all the time. That is probably my top case that I'm interested in. Chris Watts. This happened, I think, last year. And he was a husband and had two small children, and he murdered his wife and his two little girls. And he seemed like this wonderful, you know, attractive, nice man with this perfect family, and he just snapped one day, and it's such a sad case. That's one that I go back and forth with if I want to cover it, because it is just awful. It is heartbreaking. But I'm intrigued in what makes a person just all of a sudden snap and lose it. And it's scary because you never really know what people are truly capable of. Jodi Arias is another one that fascinates me. She was this young, beautiful woman who murdered her boyfriend. And she is just so odd, the way that she speaks, the way that she carries herself. She's so strange, but she's just so intriguing. You would look at her and never think that she would do something like that. Jeffrey Dahmer has always fascinated me, simply because he could admit that he knew killing was wrong and he didn't necessarily even want to kill people. He wanted a dead body, but he didn't like the act of killing, and he would try to put the killing off as long as possible. He didn't want to murder people, but he saw it as kind of a means to an end in order for him to get what he wanted. I always kind of felt this weird, not that I feel sorry for Jeffrey Dahmer by any sense of the word, but he stands out as kind of an enigma. He's very different from other serial killers, and it just fascinates me to know what was going on in his mind. Ed Gein is another serial killer that fascinates me. He inspired the character Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Ed Gein liked to take off people's flesh and make outfits out of it. He had bowls that he would eat out of that were made of human skulls. He had a table that was made of femurs. He had a nipple belt. He was just, absolutely batshit crazy. And again, I just would love to know what was going on in his mind. I actually probably wouldn't, but he's just so off the wall that he's always fascinated me. The last one I'm going to say is Israel Keyes. This guy is so freaky because he would plan out his murders years in advance. He would go to a location and he would bury a kill box, basically, full of supplies. And then he would go back home and go about his life and then go back to that location, dig up the kill box and kill someone, sometimes years later. He just had so much thought and premeditation in his murder. It was so calculated and almost like a scientific thing to him. Just a cold-blooded murderer. And he freaks me out for sure. Okay, and today's last question comes from Brittany. This is probably going to be a little bit of a long one. She asks, what is the weirdest thing that has happened to you? And do you have any ghost or alien stories? I definitely have had a couple experiences. I'm going to try and go through them without boring you all to death and dragging them out. So the first thing I want to talk about is that I have had, I guess, I don't know if you'd use the word premonitions, but I have had many experiences in my life that I have dreamt about before they happened. I had a dream about an earthquake. Two different times I had dreams about earthquakes that then happened the next day, which isn't that weird because where I live, earthquakes are pretty common. but, you know, just maybe a weird coincidence. I've had dreams about people having really bad medical things happen that then happened a day or two later with, you know, specific people. Those always kind of freak me out because now when I have dreams about, you know, someone getting in a car accident or getting sick, I don't know if it's something I should look into and warn someone or if it's just, you know, a random dream. I remember in junior high, I gave my friend some makeup to borrow. And in my dream, she came back and the makeup was all broken. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I broke your foundation or whatever. And the next day that really happened. She gave it to me. It was all shattered. And all these things could definitely be just coincidence. I was, you know, maybe worried that my makeup was going to be broken. And so I had an anxiety dream about it. I don't know, but I've always just kind of felt like sometimes I had a little bit of an intuition that I can't really explain, if that makes sense. In regards to like ghost stories, when I was very young, I think I was 8 or 9, I was sleeping in my parents' bedroom and I've got this weird feeling like something was in the room and I looked up and there was a woman standing right next to the bed and she was holding a baby and her hair was up in a bun and she was wearing an old-timey dress and the baby had like a little baby bonnet and she was just looking at me. And I always thought when I was little that if I saw a ghost, I was going to be terrified. Like I said, I watched a lot of ghost shows and then I'd go to bed and I would just be awake and I'd be paranoid and looking down the hallway. But when I saw this woman, I was not scared at all. She seemed very peaceful and like she was watching over me and I just rolled over and went back to sleep. It did not scare me at all. And I never saw her again though. I also used to see a shadowy figure at the end of the hallway in my parents' home. And this is something that both my parents have also seen. And we never had anything weird happen. There was never, you know, doors slamming or TVs turning on, nothing like that. But there was definitely a mass of some sort that would be at the end of the hallway that they felt and they saw too. My dad also said that he has seen shadowy figures go up and down our hallway. But he loves to tell me that when I moved out, that he never saw these things again. So I don't know if somehow it's connected to me, but he says that he never sees it anymore. So that's great. I also lived in an apartment for a short time that had some activity going on. I lived there with my ex-boyfriend, and when we first moved in, everything was fine. It seemed, you know, normal apartment, but as time went on, I definitely had some really uncomfortable experiences that actually made us move out of there. There would be scratching on the wall and knocking sounds, doors slamming, and these were things that only I really would witness. It'd be at night when I was awake and, you know, my boyfriend was sleeping, I'd wake him up and then the things would stop. I remember it got to a point where I was home alone one night and there was a lot of noise going on and I was like crying. I was saying, stop it, please stop it, because I was so scared and it didn't really listen. Things kept happening. The coffee pot that we hadn't used in months turned on and started smoking and shattered. My boyfriend's boots, like heavy steel-toed boots, were sitting in the living room, just, you know, sitting on the floor, and they fell over, which even if there was a window open, could not blow over boots. When we were moving out, I was cleaning the house and I had a rag that I was wiping the counters down with, and I went to the bathroom. And I came back and the rag was gone and I was looking everywhere for it. You know, I didn't bring it in the bathroom with me. It wasn't in the kitchen. I hadn't thrown it in the laundry. I could not find it the rest of the day. Thought it was strange, but, you know, kind of moved on. And then later that night, I looked over and we had this stack of big, heavy moving boxes. And there was something peeking out from the bottom. And I took all the boxes down and I realized it was that rag and it was still wet and it was under a huge stack of boxes and I was home alone. And that's one of those things I've never been able to explain. And I don't know if this spirit or whatever was there was just playing a prank or if they didn't want me to move and that was their way of showing me, but we moved and I really haven't experienced anything weird since then. And the last thing that has happened to me is I am actually with some of my friends in high school. We all saw what we believe was a UFO. We were up at this place in our town called Fort Humboldt, and it's an old fort, a military fort. And there's now like a museum there, and it's a historic landmark, I believe. And we were up there at night and we were just laying on a blanket looking up at the stars. And this thing flew over us and it moved really fast. But then when it was over us, it kind of slowed down, almost like it was looking at us. And it was silent. It made no noise. I was like 18 when this happened and I'm 30 now. So I'm trying to remember what it looked like. But I remember it was triangular. And it had lights on the bottom of it, different colored lights, I believe. And it kind of had this weird motion, like it had wings that were flapping. So little like almost like solar panels that would like go up and down. And I don't know if that's how it moved or if that was, you know, recording us or gathering information of some sort. I don't know. It was weird. And then it just flew off. And, you know, it definitely could have been a drone, but it would not have been a civilian drone at this time, I don't believe. We were the only ones up there, I know for sure. But this was in, 2007. So if it was a drone, I definitely think it would have been some type of government or military issued drone because people just didn't fly them around back then like they do now. So that was something that, I mean, we all screamed and we left pretty quick. But it was, you know, if I was alone, I probably wouldn't have told anyone about that, but there were about five of us and we all remember it and have the same story. So it's kind of a fun story. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for today's episode. If you made it through all the way and this wasn't too boring, thank you. I really appreciate it. This was really fun to record. I hope it was kind of fun to listen to and hopefully you learned something new about me and you'll want to keep listening. If you hated me and don't ever want to listen again, I'm really sorry. If you want me to do another episode like this, please just send me more questions. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast. And I have a website, weirdontherocks.weebly.com. You can send me questions anytime. Please subscribe wherever you're listening to the show right now and rate and review on iTunes. I would really appreciate it. All right, until next time, cheers and stay weird.
That was a Titancast episode.